Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Pause IM Radio. I am your host, Robert. I'm joined by my co-host, as always, Jeremy. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How is everybody this evening?
I'm doing excellent. It's kind of cold.
Everybody. It's cold.
It's the fall now, you know.
Fall. And this is my favorite time of year.
Mine too.
Oh, I love this time of year. It's wonderful.
You know, getting out the Halloween decorations and all that.
No, I wouldn't go that far, but I just like the crisp of the crispness of the morning. Well, still wearing shorts and sandals down here, so.
Well, lucky you. I got my coat today.
Yeah, so it's actually been nice.
Right. Well, we're going to do a couple things different this time show. And for future show, we're going to break it down into segments. And one of the first things we're going to talk about is HIV in the news. So I know Jeremy has one or two topics on that, right?
I've got a couple.
Okay. I found one, too, so go ahead.
I've actually got four. So the first one I want to talk about is Arnold Schwarzenegger is in the news. Health insurers in California will be required to cover the cost of HIV screenings for every patient who wants such a test under a bill signed into law by California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. The new law is expected to make screening more prevalent and eventually cut the spread of AIDS as more people become aware that they have the virus that causes the disease. The bill makes California the first state in the country to mandate such a policy. Currently, doctors have to justify to insurance companies why they conduct the $30 screening test, usually by issuing a primary diagnosis that the patient may have AIDS. And as quoted by Assemblyman Paul Krikorian, the author of the bill, he says, "This kind of test should be as routine as a cholesterol or blood pressure test. It should be a part of a basic preventative health care. This legislation will set the standard throughout the nation by making HIV screening a routine part of ordinary preventative health care." And according to the California Office of AIDS, some 40,000 people in California are infected with HIV, unaware that they have the disease, and the law could guarantee coverage for the routine testing of 22.19 million people, according to the Academic California Health Benefits Review Program. So that's the first story of the evening. The second story that I thought was interesting is that the number of HIV-positive patients in the United States has exceeded 1.1 million as more people are infected with the AIDS-causing virus this year. A report by UNAIDS, the United Nations agency that tracks the disease around the world, said that an estimated 1.2 million people were living with HIV in the United States. The new estimate is published in Morbidity and the Mortality Weekly Report. Is based on reports of HIV cases from 40 states this year and cases of AIDS from 10 states and the District of Columbia in 2006. For years, authorities said 40,000 people are infected annually. In fact, the number swung between 49,000 in the early 90s to 58,000 in the late 90s. Today, an estimated 55,000 people are infected each year, the report also added. A total of 65 million people are infected with the HIV virus since 1981, when the epidemic of AIDS spread throughout the world. Some 25 million patients have died so far from AIDS. These are uplifting stories, aren't they?
Right. Well, actually, the one that I have here is, I think it's the same one that you just did, that more Americans are actually living with HIV.
1.1 million. Yeah, 1.2 million.
Right. And they say that the new estimates are relatively good news, thanks to better treatment and people with HIV living longer than ever before.
Yeah, I don't have that story.
I'm telling you, that's what I have. It says more people with HIV means more people can spread the AIDS virus, yet new infection rates have been stable at about, you said 55, mine says 56, new infections a year. So it says that it suggests that expanding HIV testing and prevention efforts are having effects. So...
Yeah, and I think also that one of the bigger issues is that there's the infection rates are actually 20% higher than they were just last year. So it went from 40 to 45 to 55 to 56,000 new infections a year. That's still way too many.
Yeah. But so, they're saying that they're living longer, so they're they're saying it's a good thing because they're living longer. I don't know. I'm just reading.
It's a good thing that they're living longer. Yeah, it is. But it doesn't stop the fact that more and more people are infected every year. So.
No, not at all.
Another story is this week, the restrictions on HIV patients for visiting America is going to be lifted, it looks like. According to a couple of activists, people who are suffering from AIDS are not allowed to visit the United States. We already knew that. The Department of Health and Human Services puts the HHS puts HIV in the list of communicable disease that has restricted the HIV-infected people from entering the country. The Department of Homeland Security, DHS, in the United States is going to carry out a new regulation that relaxes restrictions on issuing U.S. visas to visitors who are HIV positive. According to this regulation, the HIV positive who want to visit the United States can receive temporary non-immigrant visas without undergoing waiver process. The regulation will also allow some applicants to receive visas in just one day rather than waiting for 18 days of processing. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff has said this significantly improves the opportunities for individuals seeking to visit the United States who were previously inadmissible because of an HIV infection while maintaining a high level of security at all of our borders. And the president of the Global Health Council, Dr. Nils Dallaire, said that the White House and the U.S. Congress have been very clear about the directive to change the outdated stigmatizing travel ban for HIV-positive people who want to visit the United States, but streamlining the visa process is not the same thing as dropping the ban. In July, U.S. President George W. Bush, of course, signed the legislation reauthorizing the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, which is PEPFAR, and removed a statutory requirement that mandated the inclusion of HIV on the list of diseases of public health significance. The Department of HHS still identifies HIV as a communicable disease of public health significance, making waivers necessary for HIV-positive visa applicants until this week's DHS action. So that's some good news.
Yeah, right?
It is, you know.
It is.
And one last story that I found is that the jury selection begins Monday in the long-awaited trial of an Ontario man accused of fatally infecting two of his sexual partners with the virus that causes AIDS. Johnson Aziga, 52, is the first person in Canada to be prosecuted for murder in an HIV infection case for allegedly having unprotected sex without disclosing his health status to his partners. He faces two counts of first-degree murder in the connection with two deaths of Toronto women who died in 2003 and 2004.
Wow.
I'm being told that there's no sound.
Really? I hear.
So you can hear us. Can anybody out there hear us?
Yeah. Anybody in the chat room? Can you all hear us?
Can't hear anything. Yeah, nobody can hear anything.
Well, I only had that for one person, Kevin. I think he had to refresh.
And let's see. Can anyone hear us?
Yeah, that's what I put in.
Yeah, well, golly.
We're on air, so we should be good. All right.
Someone can hear us.
Miss Just Chillin says she can hear us.
Yeah, Miss Just Chillin can hear us.
So that's good. So I think it was just Kevin having an issue with that. I had a problem when I was listening to his show earlier, too.
I just got notified by my partner, Mark, who was trying to listen, and he can't hear either.
Really? Did you ask him to refresh?
Did you refresh your session? He did, and he still can't hear us.
Hmm. Try closing it and opening it back up again.
So he's tried on two different browsers, so it looks like we're having some technical difficulties.
Well, we're still being recorded, so we can still go on with the show, and hopefully people who can hear us will be able to.
Okay, somebody can hear us now.
Yeah. Okay, woo! We're back.
Wahoo! We're back, yes. And we're back.
So yeah, he had to completely log out. So if anyone's having problems, log out.
So, completely log out and then log back in. Well, a lot of good that's going to tell... to say to anybody who can't hear us, log out, log back in if you can't hear us.
Was that all the HIV in the news?
I was almost done with that one story.
Okay, go ahead.
The jury selection, which was, I think folks need to hear. So Johnson Aziga is the first person in Canada to be prosecuted for murder in an HIV infection case for allegedly having unprotected sex without disclosing his health status to partners. He faces two counts of first-degree murder in the connection with the deaths of two Toronto women who died in 2003 and 2004 of complications from HIV. Mr. Aziga is also charged with 11 counts of aggravated sexual assault for allegedly endangering the lives of 11 female sexual partners. The trial, which is scheduled to run 6 to 8 weeks in Hamilton, will include more than 40 witnesses for the Crown, including doctors specializing in HIV, public health officials, forensic analysts, and alleged victims. A first-degree murder conviction would trigger an automatic life sentence with no eligibility of parole for 25 years. A conviction of aggravated sexual assault carries a maximum sentence of 14 years in prison. Mr. Aziga has had a half dozen lawyers since his arrest 5 years ago, and his trial date has been scheduled 5 times. Under Canadian law, failing to disclose one's HIV-positive status before unprotected sex amounts to fraud and renders invalid any consent given by a sexual partner. Jury selection is expected to take several days, and opening arguments are scheduled to begin on October 20th. That's big.
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous. In a way, for me, I mean, to consider not disclosing your status as murder, that's kind of, I don't know.
Well, cool. It's not murder.
It's not murder, but
it's fraud.
It's right.
Because he didn't tell them, and he had unprotected sex with them, and they died, he's being charged on two accounts of first-degree murder.
I don't know. That doesn't sit well with me. Like, I can understand the whole fraud thing, and, you know, I mean, something should be, I don't know. I don't know. I'd have to know the guy, the situation. I guess that's what the courtroom's for, right?
Well, it's the law is in Canada that if you don't disclose and you have unprotected sex, you're committing fraud.
I'm not moving to Canada. No, just kidding. No, I disclose anyway. I mean, I feel that disclosure is the way to go. And if you're not secure with yourself, you know what I mean, to disclose to somebody, maybe you shouldn't be having sex.
And, you know, what's kind of frightening about the whole story is it's the whole thought process of putting all the onus on the positive person and no responsibility with the other person. You know, both people have to be responsible when they go into any kind of sexual conduct, and it's frightening for me to think that it's just, you know, it's the positive person's responsibility, and that's where I get all uppity on my soapbox, you know.
Right.
It wasn't, I played a part in my infection.
As well,
you know,
as I.
You know, I played a part in it.
Right.
And, you know, nobody lied to me. I didn't ask. You know, shame on me for not asking.
Very true.
You know? So it's that whole, you know, don't ask, don't tell, right? But
well, I have a caller. Do you want to take a call right now?
Well, sure, we can take a call right now.
Okay, let's hook up. Hello, Kevin, are you there? Kevin? Hello?
Oh, there we go. I ought to not mute myself.
How you doing today, Kevin?
I am fantastic. You know the
Hello,
debate
Kevin.
On this? How are you, Jeremy?
I'm doing well.
Good. You know, the debate on this subject gets fired up from both sides of it. But honestly, if you're going to take owner, hold on a second.
Hello?
I'm here. If you're going to take ownership and be responsible for what you can or cannot do to the population when you're interacting with them, then how could it not ultimately be your responsibility? How could it not ultimately be your responsibility to warn somebody that you have chicken pox if you walk into a room? I know you can see it. It may be a simpler example, but if you're going into that situation, how can it not be your responsibility to release it?
Shouldn't it be both people's responsibility?
It is both, but ultimately, if you're going into that situation, and this is more of a question of inform me how it can be seen differently. If you're going into an interaction with another human being and you have something that could possibly cause damage to them, whether it be, you know, emotional and physical, because I can give you an example of a client I just finished 6 months with, 6 months worth of work with. But you're going into that situation. Don't you believe you should actually say, okay, look, before you come into this, here's all the information?
I don't think anybody's saying that they shouldn't shirk their responsibility. What I'm saying is that you can't place all the responsibility on the positive person. Because if you're positive and you're in the dating scene, especially if you're newly positive, that's not something that you're always going to disclose because, you know, frankly, you're afraid how they're going to treat you. The stigma is just an amazing oppressor of just letting the information out. Now, there are some folks out there that will absolutely, you know, the first words out of their mouth is, "Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I'm HIV positive." There are other people out there who just will not say it because they're too afraid of how that someone else is going to respond to them.
There's also some out there that will say, "Hi, my name is John," and go off and do their thing, and then the next morning say, "Oh, by the way, I'm HIV positive." The
You're
morning
right.
after.
There are.
And I just finished 6 months worth of work with a client of mine that was subject to that. They found out the next morning, and it caused 6 months worth of damage on this person. Get them back into
harm. I gotta throw it back out to you and say, did your client ask?
No.
Or did he assume that it was, or he or she, did they assume that the onus was on the other person? This is the ultimate. This is the problem that I have, and that because it's you're putting the responsibility on the other person. Don't you have a responsibility to ask? Don't you have a responsibility for protecting yourself if you want to be protected? You can't let other people around you take care of that for you. It's your responsibility. If everybody took that same responsibility in every action that they took, then this probably wouldn't be happening. Then you would have people who are lying to you. If you flat out asked them and they said, "No, I'm not," and yet they were and they knew it, and that's a problem.
And I would agree.
You can't, okay,
I,
but you
I,
can't I don't like the argument that, well, they didn't tell me, so it's their fault. Well, you know what? Come on, you had a bit to play in this too. It takes two to tango here.
Yeah, the way I look at it is everybody has a mouth. So, I mean, if you're able to use it for some sexual pleasure, then you should be able to use it to also ask the question. But my aspect, I feel that I have the responsibility. But it's different. It's individual for everyone. So,
well, I can tell you that the client, for the first 2 months, became very untrustworthy of everyone in the world. Didn't trust anybody because he solely trusted that this person would be honest enough about what's going on within himself before he put the two of them in that position. Now, he does agree now at this point that he needs to ask everybody and put it on them point blank that they should say so, and not to assume that they're going to say so.
And is your client positive?
No, he came out negative. And actually, through the whole thing, what they did would not have subjected him to it anyway. But the whole aspect to it was just the emotional trauma that he went through when he was told. My thing is, if you're going to tell somebody the next morning, you might as well tell them before you do it.
Well, absolutely.
In that situation.
You should always ask. You know, I mean, we're in 2008, and if people aren't willing to ask the question, and that just goes back to people being so uncomfortable to talk about sex and to talk about the issue to begin with, that it's people think that HIV is a dirty thing. They, you know, only drug users and homosexuals and prostitutes get it. If we don't embrace our own sexuality and become comfortable with our own sexuality, nobody's going to ask the question. And it's just we got to become a little bit more open about it. Hello? I can't hear anyone. Oh, no.
I am still on the phone. Yes. I cannot hear you, but I can. Oh, now I hear me typing.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Oh, there's Robert.
Hey, I don't know what happened. Can you all hear me now in the chat room?
There's a lag. Give him a second.
Yeah, there's Jeremy. Hold on. I don't know what happened. Hello, Jeremy.
Can you hear? Hello?
All right, I don't know what happened. I didn't hit any. Hello, I lost him again. I don't know what happened to him.
You know, there's some people that have problems with the switchboard itself. It freezes on them.
Yeah.
Did you call back in on the host phone number?
Yeah, I called back in and then.
So you called back in on the host number?
Yeah.
Yeah. He just needs to call back in on guest number and just unplugging or unmuting.
Yeah, Jeremy, give me a call back. Anyone else in the chat room, you want to give a call, go ahead. I don't know what the situation will be. Jeremy's back. Let's see if we can get him now. Jeremy, are you there?
Back.
Jeremy? Jeremy? And I keep losing him. Can you hear me, Kev?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay, I don't know what happened to Jeremy. I keep losing him when he logs in, so.
He hung up the phone and is getting on a plane to Arizona. Come kick me in my own backyard.
Okay, is everybody
Jeremy,
hello?
You there?
I'm here.
There?
I don't know what's going on, man, but welcome back.
Okay, I have no idea what's happening.
No, I have no idea. Mercury's in retrograde, so a lot of weird things happen with computers, so I'm just going to blame it on that. Sounds like a good thing. So where were we before you got disconnected?
Oh, I don't remember.
I had just said that if you don't have enough guts to ask the question as to somebody else's status, then jump in a rubber blanket and go for it.
Well, see, I know in my own situation, I didn't ask. I trusted the person, and when it came out later on down the line that he was, someone told me, rumor had it, that he was positive, when I confronted him, he lied about it. And still to this day, the person lies about it, but people tell me all the time that he's positive, so.
You know, I'll have to tell you a story of a very good friend of mine who has passed away. He's been gone now about 4 years. He was in the same situation as you were, Robert.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't ask the question. He trusted the person was fine. Then rumors were had that the person wasn't, that the person was positive. However, he didn't have enough guts to go get tested. He didn't find out he was positive until about 2 years before he died, when he went into the hospital with PCP for his first time.
Wow.
And then it took about 2 years between the accumulation of a bunch of things for him to succumb to it. And it was ultimately complete organ failure.
You know, I'm definitely glad I caught mine early enough. You know, that's one thing that's good about the situation is people are now getting tested earlier, I hope.
Well,
I know my friends are.
The sad thing is there's not that many that are getting tested as early as they should or on a regular basis, no matter how you interact with anyone.
That's
Jeremy,
true.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. You're in there typing.
I've got one leg up. I've got a tinfoil thing on my head and kind of leaning towards the south to see if this is going to work.
Stay in that one position and get a camera. That should be entertaining.
That's right. Yeah, no, you don't want to see that. Oh, gosh, my hair's not done or anything.
But, it all comes back to the stigma, the whole thing, the stigma of the disease itself, because everybody's so afraid to know. You know, to know yes or no. They're more afraid to know yes than they are to know anything else.
Yeah, and stigma prevents a lot of things from happening surrounding HIV. The stigma of not getting tested, the stigma of not getting treated when you should. The stigma stops people from making the right decision. And it's tough because when I know when I was diagnosed, I didn't know which way was up. Didn't know where to go. Didn't know what to do. I didn't think about those things. So I've embraced it and said, you know what? Screw everything. I'm just going to deal with what I've got and move forward because, you know, life doesn't stop.
It comes to that, I own this. It does not own me.
It will eventually, but not right now.
Well, no, I don't necessarily believe it will own you eventually if you keep that mindset that it won't. I work with a lot of clients that are positive. I work with a lot of them that are going through the fight of keeping some value of themselves through the period of knowing whether or not they do have it. And I can tell you, well, Bob is one of them, the pirate that you had on, Robert,
mm-hmm.
Is one of them that when you get in the right mindset, your body can fight anything. You can fight anything, and you can win, you know? So believing
and maybe emotionally, but the reality of all this is that, and I'm all for positive attitude and positive thinking and you know, and keeping a positive outlook, but that alone does not replace good, solid medical intervention and good, solid medical treatment. Because if you don't have the science and the medicine to back it up, your lifespan in mortality, your mortality rate has just greatly increased. And the odds of survival are not as high. But
I would agree with a piece of that. The piece of that is at a certain stage when you get to a point that you need, without a doubt, you have got to have the medical intervention to speed things along. Absolutely. There is actually a little proof to the human pharmacy. And Dr. Deepak Chopra, who is a very well-known Eastern medicine, he's a doctor that specializes in a mixture of Eastern and Western medicine. And there's a study done that if you put yourself in what's typically known as euphoria, on the good side instead of the bad side, but the example is given a roller coaster. If you get on a roller coaster and that is the top of excitement and just fun for you, your body creates a chemical that will completely destroy kidney cancer. And
I got to disagree with them because, you know, there are folks out there who do have cancer, lung cancers and brain cancers, mm-hmm. and they go to these homeopathic, you know, try these homeopathic remedies. They go to these alternate healers. They go to these places, and they die. You know, mm-hmm. Nothing is going to convince me that positive thinking and positive outlook and you know, putting myself in a deep meditation is going to kick this virus out of my body. Not going to buy it. It doesn't work like that, you know. But the positive thinking, I go to therapy, I do these things, but that's for my emotional well-being. I have a biological agent in my body that, you know, I just can't close my eyes and will it away. It's just not going to happen.
Well, closing your eyes and willing it away is not going to happen, no. But when you understand that going within yourself, becoming very internally driven, positive thought and positive thinking isn't going to help if you're always trying to achieve that. If you're always going, I'm going to be positive, I'm going to be positive, or I'm going to be happy, I'm going to be this, then you're always chasing the happiness. You're always chasing the positive outlook. You don't want to chase. You just want to be. You want to follow the passion. You want to do things that are going to internally give you that drive and that wondrous love of what it is you do. And it's everything from what you do and what you eat and what you drink and everything. There's one gentleman, and if he would give me permission to put it out there, I would, but he won't. This gentleman was on his deathbed and started taking about 4,000 times the amount of vitamin B12 that he's supposed to take. And took a very strong, well, not strong, I mean, he drank about 12 ounces of pure coconut milk a day. Between those two, within 3 months, he was out of the hospital, nearly undetectable, and able to resume his natural life.
And what did he have?
HIV. He had AIDS. He was on his deathbed, full-blown AIDS.
Because I know, my father died of lung cancer, and he took the B12, and it made him feel good the first time, and then the second time that he received it, he passed away shortly after it, and a lot of my family actually blame the B12 shot because of it.
Well, when you understand what B12 is, B12 is a natural, it's natural energy. It's something to get you going.
Right.
And what really did it for him was the coconut milk, the unprocessed coconut milk. It has the same chemical compound as women's breast milk. And it's proven to a point that women's breast milk will help keep a baby from actually, they will help a baby fight it.
I'm going to stop you right there, Kevin, because you're getting into some really dangerous territory that's not backed up by any kind of medical science. It's backed up by anecdotal evidence, and there's no proof of any of that. So I would really be cautious, especially on this show, with people who might be listening, who are newly diagnosed, that they think that meds aren't going to help them, or they think that drinking coconut milk is a cure, or that meditation is,
and that's part of what I would never tell somebody to. Yeah, I wouldn't tell somebody to do something that they didn't check with their doctor.
I just want to be cautious of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. That's not, I'm not of the ultimate answer to everything, and who knows what really is, honestly. I mean, at one point, the medical community put a chemotherapy treatment as the answer to AIDS, too. So there's not really an ultimate answer. It's just a situation of what has happened and what has worked for other people. It's not definitely not a do this.
What works and what doesn't, it's all individual. But I also want to urge and state that if you're going to try anything, do it under the direction of your doctor. Don't try going off alone and trying something that, that you read on the internet or.
Okay, somehow I lost Jeremy again, so. I don't know what's happening today, but this switchboard is not working correctly, and I don't understand what the problem is. So if Jeremy can call back, that would be great. Kevin, thanks for calling in. We're going to try to move to the next one. Jeremy, you there?
I'm here.
I don't know what the hell's going on. I tried to hang up Kevin so we could move on to the next subject, and somehow we got disconnected, so I apologize. I wasn't finished
what
you were saying.
You hung up on me.
No, I didn't. No, I hung up on both of you. I meant to hang up on Kevin because I wanted to disconnect so we could move to the next subject, but somehow I got rid of both of you by accident. So finish what you were saying so people can get that back
out. What was I saying?
You were saying that people – something – you know what you were saying. About it being individual.
Oh, yeah. Folks need to work through their doctors, always, always, always under the direction of a doctor, So it's making sure that you have that good medical team working with you. That's where I was going with all this, is that, you know, we're all adults and individuals, and, you know, our bodies work faster and some slower and some react differently, but always, always work with your doctor. And,
absolutely.
And put science on your side, because science
absolutely.
Does actually work.
Well, we kind of went off the subject, and now we're down to like 20 minutes, so... we can kind of briefly, if you want, we'll kind of briefly go through. If anyone else wants to call in and ask me and Jeremy a question, feel free to, 347-215-9442. But we're also going to try to basically, there's a couple of frequently asked questions about HIV, and I wanted to kind of touch base with them before we kind of get off. So real quick, I'm just going to go down the nine of them, and then, Jeremy, if there's one that you want to touch on, let me know, okay?
Oh, and I just want to say, Kevin, thanks for calling. That was a great discussion. Thank you.
Absolutely, Kevin. And we know he wasn't saying not to work with a doctor, just so you know.
I do know that. I do know that.
So, again, Kevin actually has his own radio show on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to listen to it, it's called The Gay Life Coach, and it's Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I believe there was one on today that I was listening to. I don't remember the time, 2 o'clock. But thanks, Kevin, for calling in. The nine frequently asked questions about people living with HIV. When you're first diagnosed, these are the questions that people ask the most. I'm going to go over them real quick, and then we'll touch base on them individually. One is, what is HIV? What is the difference between HIV and AIDS? Is HIV the cause of AIDS? What are the symptoms of HIV? Is HIV a punishment for bad behavior? You got to love that one. Am I stupid for getting HIV? How will an HIV diagnosis change my sex life? Does alternate therapy help with HIV? And why should I trust doctors or pharmaceutical companies? So,
you know what? Since we were talking about it, the question was, does alternative therapy help with HIV?
Yes.
The simple answer is no. No. Alternative therapies do not specifically fight HIV.
Some people might think alternative therapy would be marijuana.
Help.
but it does help in some ways. It helps you get your hunger back.
Let me put it to you this way. It doesn't specifically fight HIV.
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So,
okay.
No, alternative therapies do not specifically fight HIV. HIV is a virus, and you have to take viral or antiviral medicines.
Absolutely.
HIV is a retrovirus. You have to, it takes RNA and converts it and transcripts it into DNA. Alternatives do not work. There are many studies has attempted to prove that alternative medicine's power improves HIV, but by all accounts in every study done, no, alternative therapies do not work. If you're looking for ways to reduce stress, anxiety, or depression, your alternative therapies will probably work. So they are not in alternative therapies, and real medicine are not substitutes for each other. So
right.
They just aren't. So I'm going to leave it there, but I just want to say this because, no, it doesn't work.
So that was one of the questions.
If you want to improve, you know, go to yoga and massage and meditation and acupuncture to help with your stress and to help with your anxiety and to be within yourself and one, you know, with one or whatever it is you need to be with yourself. But don't replace one for the other.
Absolutely.
So that's what I wanted to say.
Well, there you go.
Anyway, so what was the next one? What was that other question?
The next one after that. Is HIV a punishment for bad behavior?
No.
I don't know. The only way somebody would, if you could really believe that, I just can't believe that somebody would actually believe that. It's it's not a punishment. You know what I mean?
Now, some do. And a lot of your, a lot of these religious folks out there, you know, the some of these evangelicals and you know, the born-agains, and you know, and I have nothing, I don't have any issues with religion.
No.
But when you start to start telling people that they're going to get HIV from, you know, doing bad things, and it's a punishment, it's God's punishment, and yada, yada, because I've heard it all. There are some people who do believe it, but let me tell you, it is not a punishment.
Right.
It isn't. It just, it's not.
I mean, it's stupid. And I mean, like, I don't know. I can't even imagine somebody actually even believing that. You know, I mean, I could see maybe somebody doubting themselves and questioning me, and that's probably why it's in this book. People may question, is it a puzzle? It might be a question, but I think after you go and you're living longer with the disease, you kind of realize that it's really not a punishment. You know what I mean? That's somebody looking at it as a bad thing. And to me, like I said, I look at it as a good thing. What am I supposed to learn from this? You know what I mean? Me becoming HIV positive, what am I supposed to learn from this situation? And it's, you know, it's a lot of maturity and stuff that comes with it.
Yeah.
Another question that comes along, you know, am I stupid for getting HIV?
Well, that ranks right up there with, you know, is it a punishment? No, you're not stupid.
Hey, the pirate just tuned in.
ahoy there, matey.
Oh, my.
Oh, golly. But, you know, of course no one's stupid. You know, it's... Oh, Bob.
That's one bad pirate.
All right. You... All right. All right, Bob. Don't be making threats and promises that you just can't live up to there, buddy.
Yeah, right.
I'll be on the first plane to Madison. oh, golly.
Yeah, so I don't think necessarily people are stupid, you know what I mean? Because, you know what I mean, am I stupid for getting HIV? I don't think they're stupid. People make wrong choices, and we learn from our mistakes and our bad choices, and what we take from each experience is what makes us grow. So I don't think we're
right.
Stupid. You know,
I think you know what? Here's what it is. I think that we make poor choices, but it's not because we're stupid,
right? We're
you
human.
Know, we're being human, exactly, absolutely. and let's see. How will an HIV diagnosis change my life? I think that's always an interesting question because, you know, I think we've been talking about it. Some people don't talk about it. Some people don't admit it. Some people hide it.
Yeah.
And then I know some folks who just completely
shout it from the rooftops.
You know, shout it from the rooftops. You know, there's a few of us out there who can shout it from the rooftops and go, wahoo, you know, look at me.
Right.
Listen to my story. And then there are those who just don't say anything, you know, so.
Yeah.
So what else did you have in there? What else do we got?
Right.
I'm
meditating over here. Why should I trust doctors or pharmaceutical companies? And I'm just going to read what it says here before you say something, because this is a short little thing. It says,
before
this requires a two-part answer. First, by trusting your doctor, you get the benefit of receiving health care, which can help you live longer and healthier. The second part of the answer is you probably should not trust most pharmaceutical companies. It doesn't mean these companies are bad. It only means that they are motivated by profit, not by social causes. It's always helpful to understand this agenda when reading brochures and pamphlets produced by pharmaceutical companies. That's from the book.
And he's talking about it's always helpful to understand this agenda. Yeah, you know, they're talking about, has the pharmaceutical industry gotten too involved with how doctors prescribe medicine? The simple answer is yes.
Yeah, I think so too.
That's the simple answer. The more complicated answer is that pharmaceutical companies have such a big purpose, or not a big purpose, but have such a play such a big role in our lives. Because without the pharmaceutical companies, there wouldn't be less research and development in new drugs. And let's look at diabetes and cancers and all these other diseases that are out there. People are living longer. People are living more productive lives. And then I see Bob putting dollar signs out there. But on the other side of that, and this is where the complicated part gets into it, Viagra. here's where the complication comes into the aspect of it is drug companies are making huge profits. And not to joke about Viagra, but Viagra is definitely something, and Bob brings this up. He threw it in there, so I'll say it, is they spend millions of dollars to sell this drug so people can have sex.
Yep.
They gear it towards, heterosexual couples, blah, 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 blah. But what's interesting is they don't talk about safer sex practices. So on one hand, you're saying, here, go out and have sex, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, it's, but don't say anything about HIV and don't say anything about those things. It's about that almighty dollar, sex. But don't you dare tell them to have it safely because the government, the administration, he doesn't want to. We can't. The administration doesn't give money to organizations that talk about safer sex practices. It's all about abstinence. But then you talk about Viagra, and that flies in the whole face of all of us.
The one thing that bugs me is you see all these commercials on TV for, everything. For whether it's, that commercial for, what is it, Darvastatin, I want to be one less, to Viva Viagra. Every single one of them has a disclaimer at the end that it doesn't protect against HIV disease. And to me, I just find that, I find that really offensive that they need to put that on every single thing. Like America thinks that every single pill that they take is going to fight it. You know what I mean? Does that bother you at all, Jeremy?
Does that bother me? Well, no, they're being factual about it.
Why do they have to mention HIV and not other diseases that are out there that are sexually transmitted?
Because HIV is still classified as one of the larger infectious diseases out there.
Find that on a commercial for – some heartburn medicine or depression medicine.
Well,
they say the same thing.
Because you're not. Well, here's why they do it. It's because it's for sex. It's for having sex.
But not if it's a depression pill.
It's actually trans. No, it's not. So why would you put HIV in with the?
No, but they do. That's what I'm saying. Like at the bottom, we'll have the little text that says, "Does not protect against HIV disease." or different things about me.
For Viagra, Cialis, and those types of drugs they do, but not for Paxil or...
Well, I've seen it for a depression drug. One of those, are you alone?
Okay, show it to me, mister. Give it to me. Give me the proof. Yeah. Show it to me. Where did you see it?
On TV. What do you mean, where do you see it?
I'll have to keep an eye on that, but I don't think that's quite true there, Rob. You know, birth control, they do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes down to, you know, if you're going to have sex, have it responsibly. Talk with your partners. You know, I think that's really, that kind of became the theme of this show tonight, is besides the outages. Be responsible. And be responsible to your partner. And that means, that just doesn't mean that the person who has HIV, it also means the person who might have HIV who doesn't know it. Who really think that they're negative, but it's everybody's responsibility, not just, you know, the person who has the virus. It's not solely on our backs to carry the weight of the world. You know, I will say that, you know, it is responsible of a person to mention it, but it's not just the positive guy's, you know, responsibility. It goes both ways.
Right. Well, I want to read this one little part of this news article that I found, which I thought was kind of interesting. It says, the percentage of people who don't know they're infected with HIV is decreasing, and that's good news, because such people are far more likely to spread their infection than those who know their status. However, more than one in five people, more than one in five people living with HIV, that's 232,000 Americans, have no idea they're carrying the AIDS virus.
Yep.
And 38% of Americans learn they have HIV only within a year of developing AIDS. That's why it's so important to get tested regularly.
It's important, but in order for people to get tested, we have to do something about the stigma, and we have to do something about empowering people to be comfortable with their own sexuality and to be comfortable with sex. I mean, no, just talk about it. Sex. Sex. And I think we're down to our last few seconds, but it's getting people to talk about it and getting people to understand that just because you're HIV positive isn't a reason not to be tested. It is a reason to be tested, and it's not a reason to stop living. And having HIV is my reason for living every day. So,
and you know what? That's one thing, Jeremy, that I admire about you. When I read your site the first time, when I was introduced by you, the way that you put yourself out there, it's very inspiring, and I just had to let you know that.
Aww,
for real.
Thanks.
It's amazing. I mean, I thank Bob for hooking us up to do this. It's a great thing. But real quick, we're down to the last 30 seconds, so I'm going to spit everything out.
Yeah.
Visit Jeremy at positivelyspeakingwithaz.com. Visit Robert at posim.com. Join the PosIM community. And if you haven't already, please comment or rate the show. You can do it right on the Blog Talk Radio profile. Everyone else, have a great night. We'll be here next Sunday at 9 p.m. See you
Thanks,
later, Jeremy.
Everybody. Good night.